Grace and peace be to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's take a look at this.
Address should be there, 1800 Ann Street. Hello?
Yeah, it's your driver. I'm on the car.
Go! Go! Go!
For what?
Those are the hostages!
Want to get away? Now you can with Southwest fares as low as $59 one way. Yes to low fares with nothing to hide. That's transparency.
Sometimes you just want to get away. When I was a kid, and I don't remember how old I was, probably 7, 8 years old, I had done something in the house that my mother was really upset about. I mean, she was really, really mad. I don't even remember what it was. But I decided in that moment, in the heat of the moment, that the best option for me at this particular time in my young life was to try to get as far away from my mother as possible. And so that's what I did. I just decided I'm just going to take off. So I ran through the house. This wasn't a big house, a little ranch house. I ran through the house, got to the front door, hit the screen door in those 1970s screen doors. Remember those? Thing flew open and hit the other side of the brick wall. I went out on the porch, a little tiny porch, and I knew that if I pivot to the right, there was a place, a little space in between the shrubbery that we had, and that if I could just kind of hit that corner, jump over the shrubs, right in that little tiny corner, I would be well on my way of getting away from my mother. So that's what I did. Through the front door, pivoted to the right, jumped through the shrubs, hit the ground, took two steps, and then boom, my mother grabbed my left arm. And I was impressed. I was impressed. You see, I thought I was going to be able to get away from my sin. But sometimes you can't get away from it. We had a friend who had a problem with alcohol. And she would buy two bottles of the same wine. She would only put one in the rack. And when she would finish the one bottle, she would take and hide the empty bottle and then take the full bottle and put it back in the rack so that her husband wouldn't find out. He found out anyway. You might have seen the story this week about the man who's suing CVS up in Long Island, Long Island, New York. His wife had called in a prescription, and then she called back to see if the prescription was ready. And the pharmacist then said, "Oh, by the way, your husband's Viagra prescription is available as well for pickup." She didn't know anything about that. When in my first congregation, when I was on internship, the treasurer who had been the treasurer for 12 years decided to move down to Alabama. And so pastor decided, well, it would be a good time just to do an audit since he had been the treasurer and there for so long, make sure we're doing everything we're supposed to do. The day after the announcement about the audit, the treasurer came in and said, "I've been stealing from the church for the last 10 years. And you know, when people like to tell stories, when they like to gossip about one another, just in case you're one of those people, just so you know, we always find out. It always comes back to us. You know, we know who the gossips are. You can't hide from your sins. The story in Genesis is a wonderful, wonderful story. The backstory is Adam and Eve were put in the garden to take care of it, to be involved with God in this creation, to name the animals, and just to live life to the fullest in this garden. And God said to them, you know, enjoy this, but I just don't eat the fruit of a particular tree. And of course, you know what happens. That's exactly what happens. Eve takes the fruit, she eats it, she gives it to her husband. He doesn't put up any fuss about it, by the way. He eats the fruit. And now we have where we came in our particular reading. I love the description that happens at first. God is going for a walk at the time of the evening breeze. I love the detail that's added, you know, the evening breeze. In the Middle East, you know, because it's a desert, arid environment, you know, the wind blows off of the Mediterranean and just cools everything down for hundreds and hundreds of miles. You know, the temperature drops by 10, 15, 20 degrees, and it makes the evening very, very lovely, very beautiful. I always imagine God walking through his creation that he had just created and he's enjoying. And, you know, in my head, he's always walking with like a nice cigar or something, you know. Just at the time, you know, the evening breeze, you know, and just enjoying. And then he notices, where are Adam and Eve? Of course, we know they're hiding. And then a series of rhetorical questions begin. God starts giving these rhetorical questions. Now, rhetorical questions are questions that you know the answer to. Already, you know, God, as he's asking, already knows. The first question is, where are you? Now, God is omnipresent. God is omniscient. You know, God knows exactly where Adam and Eve are, even as he asks that question. And Adam replies, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid. Because I was naked. And then in the next question, you can sense God's heart breaking as he even asks the question. Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the fruit of the tree that I commanded you not to eat? You know, Adam and Eve were what's commonly known as ashamed. They were ashamed of what they had done. God had placed them in this beautiful situation and just said, you know, just don't do the fruit from the one tree, and yet they did it. And now they're feeling shame. They're ashamed. Before they were naked and unashamed. But because of their sin, now they are naked and afraid. They're even afraid of this creator that they had this relationship with, that he's walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. And now it's all gone. The man's response is kind of interesting. We joke about it a lot, you know, it's that kind of relationship that men and women have together, you know, it's Eve's fault, right? And of course, that's where he goes right away. Did you catch that, though? There's more than just that. It's the woman that you gave me. Did you catch that? It's the blaming not only the woman, but also God who had created the woman in the first place. And then the fourth question is, what is this that you have done? This is directed toward Eve. Eve does the same thing. It's not me, God. It's the serpent tricked me. And that's why I did it. Adam and Eve's response, I think, is the real sense of what we have in when we talk about the fall. It's not so much the eating of the fruit. You know, yeah, they weren't supposed to do it and they did that. But the real sin, the grave sin, is this blame game that they go on with each other and with God. So that all of their problems no longer have anything to do with themselves. It's all because of what either somebody else or even God himself has done in their life. And we see this unleashing of sin and death into the world in which you and I live in ever since then. Because, brothers and sisters, we all know about blame, don't we? We use all sorts of language to talk about what it is. Whether it's blame or passing the buck. Fall guy, dupe, patsy, dodge the bullet, cop out, scapegoat. Don't look at me. It was her. Dr. Robert Anthony, a former professor at Harvard Business School, taught a lot about organizational management, said this: when you blame others, you give up your power to change. Adam and Eve, you and me, we try to hide from whom we can become by just blaming others. We hide who we can become. Who we can become are people who are forgiven by God. People who are made righteous because of what God does for us and in our life, not because of what we try to pass off to somebody else. God wants to know for each of us, where are you? He wants us to be near him. That's why we see these in the Bible, this kind of renewed recommitment that God seeks to have with us all the time. So he gives the Ten Commandments so that he can establish a deep covenant with us, a relationship. And what are the commandments? The first three commandments have to do with our relationship with God, right? I'm the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods. Honor my name. Remember the Sabbath. Keep it holy. Again, it's about honoring God's name and remembering him. And then the next seven commandments have to do with our relationship with other people, right? Don't kill, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't covet other people's stuff, don't bear false witness. It's all about those close relationships that we have with other people. Jesus does the same thing when he gives the disciples the great commandment. The great commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. What God is seeking to do is to reestablish, reconnect with us. He's seeking to reconcile himself to us. It's a restoration of relationship. That's why he sends Jesus, to be that great reconciler between us and God, so that you and I would never have to be naked and afraid again, but instead that we might be clothed with the very righteousness of God, that we might be able to live in peace and joy in God's garden. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.